All right, you can be seated. Come on, who's glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Let me hear from you. Man, how many realize worship is more than just singing a song? It's a life that we're privileged to live for God, amen? We breathe to worship you, Lord. We breathe to worship you. Well, good morning, Rev City. So good to be with you this morning, and just so honored every Sunday to just gather here and to just press into the presence of God and to just receive from the invitation from God to grow in him. I hope that that word that my precious wife brought to you this morning just stirred something in your heart. If it had not already happened for you, just that sense of expectation. Come on, I want to encourage you right now just to begin to allow your heart to expect that God's up to something in your life. And there's a purpose, and you're not here by accident. And we're here to do more than just sing a few songs and hear hopefully a good message. We're here to encounter the living God. We're here to experience his heart for us. And we're here to grow in him. Amen. Come on. God intends for us to be growing in him, moving forward in him, discovering more of who he is and who we are in him. Amen. Well, it's an exciting season in the life of our church. And, you know, next Sunday we will honor Pastor Eli and Elisa for the years of faithful service. And come on, can you just put your hands together for them? We can't do it often enough. And for those of you who maybe aren't aware, for whatever reason, Pastor Eli has accepted the invitation to a kingdom promotion. He's accepted a lead campus pastor position for Daystar Church in the Cullman, Alabama area, and I'm so proud of him and so excited for he and Elisa. But they're stepping out in faith, and how many know change can be difficult? Change can be challenging. Stepping out in faith into a new season and leaving everything that's familiar into something new can be difficult and can be challenging. And Elisa's over there, I just shaking her head a little bit right there. I just happen to see that out of the corner of my eye. And I want to encourage you, would you just make a special plan to be here next Sunday for a really special time? And would you just prepare, would you be praying for them in this season of transition? You know, a lot of times we can just kind of celebrate and applaud, and then we just go about our own lives. And I want to encourage you, pull them onto your prayer radar. And just cover them and ask the Lord to provide for them and protect them as they step out in faith into this new season. I had the chance to speak with Pastor Eli this week and over the phone, and he sounds so good. There just seems like there's a spring in his step. I could just hear that coming through our conversation. And so God's good. He's up to something. And next Sunday, it's really beautiful what the Lord's done. And if you're already aware of all this, just grace me to just update some folks. It's really beautiful what the Lord has done as Eli and Elisa are stepping out and stepping into something, that God's raising up someone to step into the position. How many know if God has a plan and a purpose for the church in Alabama that involves Eli and Elisa, someone that's near and dear to us, stepping out in faith and going there, he has a plan for Rev City Church in Lawrence, Kansas. Amen? And so it's been so exciting to just watch what the Lord's doing as he began just to speak. And I'm just telling you, it's been awesome and amazing to just kind of watch what the Holy Spirit was doing over the past 6 to 9 months. Just directing and preparing and forming and shaping and fashioning this transition. And so next Sunday, it's going to be a really beautiful thing as Pastor Eli and Elisa are actually, as even though we're honoring them, they're going to partner with us to ordain and bless and speak over Micah and Adrian Barclay as Pastor Micah steps into our associate pastor role in our youth leadership position. How many know that's something to celebrate right there? Amen? Godly transition, kingdom-minded godly transition. And so there's another thing I want to introduce and just announce to you guys this morning, and that is, a couple years now, we've had, actually when Eli transitioned and accepted that invitation to his promotion, it created 3 empty positions in our team in the structure that we've built here for our Rev City staff. And Eli was our associate pastor, and we've had a vacancy in our executive pastor position. We've also been just searching and praying for someone that would step in and be a long-term solution in our front office, just overseeing just all the things. It's a vital role in our church, just receiving people and receiving things and directing traffic in our office. And so we've had those 3 positions. And as an eldership, I just want to catch you up a little bit on this. As an eldership, as we were budgeting and praying and planning for you guys and for us as a church heading into 2018, we felt the Lord challenge us to be intentional and to budget for God to fill those positions in 2018. And so we stepped out in faith that we wrote it into our budget. And then we just prayed. And how many know, though, as you're praying, it's good to also be watching for what God would have you to partner with him to do and begin taking steps. And so we were praying And we were actively waiting, and we were taking steps. We engaged with some candidates, and we had some people send us some candidates. And the Lord just continued, it seemed, to just close the door and just say, not yet, be patient, just wait. And so as we were just waiting and watching but trusting God, I started to see the Lord do something in the life of a dear friend in my life in ministry, a big brother and big sister in the Lord to Amity and to I. My dear friends, you guys might remember them from a couple of Januaries ago when they were here to minister in the Activate Conference, our dear friends Eddie and Beth Diaz. Would you guys say hi to Eddie and Beth? They're right here. They're sitting right up here in the front row. Hey, you guys stand up and just let them see you for a second. And come on, give them a Rev City welcome. Come on. So, you know, our spiritual roots just run deep with Eddie and Beth. And like I said, they're like a big brother and sister in the Lord to us. And it goes all the way back to Amarillo, Texas, where we both were raised up into ministry and serving in Trinity Fellowship Church there in Amarillo, Texas. And then when my parents stepped out of Amarillo and went to West Texas to plant a church, Eddie and Beth just came to serve. The Lord spoke to them prophetically and in quite a supernatural way. And they stepped out in obedience and faith. And they came and they just planted themselves there to just serve, to do whatever they could to be a blessing to the new church that was being established there in West Texas. And eventually Eddie and Beth came on to staff there. And eventually, after a season of serving there, they launched out to lead a church as senior pastors in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And then they were serving as executive pastor and children's pastor at Good Shepherd Community Church in Brownsville, Texas, when the Lord did an amazing thing in Amity and I's life and began speaking to us. We were happy where we were. We had a lot of roots. We had a lot of family. It was very similar to Eli and Elisa's situation. But the Lord began to just speak and began to prompt us, and we began to pray, and we began to just sense that God was doing something in our lives that would involve a step of faith. And the Lord came. Eddie and Beth, I just want to tell you a little bit of the story. Eddie and Beth were traveling through Abilene. They stopped in at the church and said hi to me, but Amity was at home with the kids, and so she didn't have an opportunity to see them. And I went home, and she said, how's your day, you know? And by the way, when your wife asks you that, it's always code for, I want you to ask me how my day was, by the way. That's just a little marriage moment there for you guys. Take a note right there. And so I told her about my day and eventually did ask her about hers. But part of my day, I said, yeah, and Eddie and Beth, I got to see Eddie and Beth. They're here in town for an event, and they came by, stopped by the church. And she said, oh, my goodness, I'm so sad that I didn't get to see them. And I said, well, we're going to San Antonio here in a couple months later in the summer. Why don't we just see if we can add a day or two onto our trip and just drive an extra 4 or 5 hours down to South Texas and visit them in Brownsville and go to South Padre Island and eat some tacos. That's always of God. And I said, we'll just add a couple days onto our trip. And so a couple days later, she woke up on a Saturday morning and she said, Thomas, I feel like the Lord spoke to me that we're supposed to go to Brownsville. And I said, yeah, baby, remember we talked about it. We're going to Brownsville here in a couple months. We're going to add it. And she said, no. She said, the Lord spoke to me and said, we're supposed to go today. Now, I had responsibilities in the service the next morning. I said, wait, well, all right, baby, I trust you. I know you're here from God. And I called my pastor that I was serving and I shared it with him. And he said, well, get your responsibilities covered and then go. And see what, come on, who's glad for kingdom-minded leadership that didn't control us? And he said, get your responsibilities covered and then just go and see what the Holy Spirit is doing. So we went to Brownsville, and that week, unbeknownst to us, that week, the associate pastor that was over praise and worship, and that's what I was, that's how I served in the church for the first 13 years of my ministry. And the praise and worship pastor that was serving in Brownsville that week had come into the office of Eddie and the lead pastor there and announced his intention to resign to move to Guatemala to be a missionary. And so when we showed up just a few days later saying that the Holy Spirit just prompted us and told us to just come, it put me on their radar in a way that I don't think I would have been otherwise. And that sense of transition and stirring, God began to use the obedience. And that's all we can do, by the way, is just try to just pray and obey, do our part. Would God brings the results. But we just pray and we serve and we obey. And thankfully, we had the grace from God to have obeyed and gone down there. And it put us on the radar in a way that we probably wouldn't have. And we were blessed to have receive an invitation to go and serve there. Served with Eddie and Beth there at Good Shepherd for a few years. And then about 9 months ago, I watched just from afar. Eddie and I remained in touch just as friends. But I began to watch as God was transitioning them. And they were being stirred, and they stepped out in faith, and they moved to Southern California, and they were attempting to launch a new ministry, which, come on, is a challenge, and there were, it takes a ton of faith to do anything for God, but especially to step out on your own and trust God for the provision and for the connections and everything to launch a new ministry. And so we just prayed and watched, but I couldn't help, and I've shared all this with Eddie and Beth, I couldn't help but just watch and just see and just say, God, I see what you're doing there, but is it possible that you're also just trying to cause them to become unattached from where they were serving so vitally in that place, that this is a season of just causing them to become unattached because you're really trying to get them to Rev City Church in Lawrence, Kansas? And I just watched, and we prayed, and we would call them from time to time and just try to encourage them through what was a trying, difficult season of them just, again, stepping out in faith and trusting God. And, you know, through a divine set of circumstances. And is this all right? Can I just share with you just a little bit more about this than I intended to? I didn't know I would get into all this. I'm going somewhere. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, he's going somewhere. And so we were just praying and encouraging them, and they started sensing that maybe God was calling them to become part of a church there in San Diego, and they went through a long interview process. And I remembered something. The Holy Spirit prompted something in my memory, that when we were in transition from Brownsville to where God had for us, come on, lovely Lawrence, Kansas, LFK, Lawrence for the Kingdom, amen. When God was trying to get us from Brownsville, Texas to Lawrence, Kansas, there was a process. There was a wilderness season. There was a season of knowing God was called. Come on, I'm about to get into my message here. There was a season of knowing God had something for us, knowing God was calling us to something, but not seeing or knowing what it was, and really having to trust Him. Come on, that's what I'm talking to you about today, is trusting God. Trusting God, learning to trust God. God will put you in situations that are unfamiliar and uncomfortable because He's calling you into a place that you've got to trust Him. And we were in that situation of just trusting God. We knew He had spoken. We knew He was moving. We knew He had called us, but no one was calling. And in that season, I did get a phone call from a wonderful church in Charleston, South Carolina, and they said, we're aware that you're in transition, and we want to engage with you. And I had several interviews with them over the phone, and they were extending to me a director of men's ministry position for this amazing church in Charleston, South Carolina. And during that season, you know, we're praying, and it wasn't exactly what we felt like God was calling us to, but you know, I'm just trying to hear God and be faithful, and I'm up against a time frame also that was very important to me, and it was the end of my paycheck. And so I'm saying, all right, God, you know, I got this date coming up, and I'm trusting you, but I got this coming up, you know, and then so they start calling this church from Charleston, South Carolina, and they're extending this men's ministry position. And during that time, I said, well, Lord, maybe there's just a step that you needed me to take to kind of continue to prepare me for ultimately what you've called me to do. And I was willing to take that step. But in that season where I was right up to the point of this offer being extended to me, the pastor on that staff at that church, Seacoast Church, Charleston, South Carolina, completely went radio silence on me. Come on, he wouldn't return my texts. He wouldn't return my phone calls. He wouldn't return my emails. I sent a carrier pigeon. I was trying every way I could. I was like, I got to get word to this guy, you know, and he wouldn't reply to me for about a window of 10 days. Here's what happened in those 10 days. Ed Funderburg, Gateway Church, texted me, and he said, I know I told you I was on vacation and I wouldn't be in touch with you, but I'm here, and I brought you an Amity on my prayer list, and I've been praying for you. As I'm here, by the way, in Southern Alabama is where he was. And he said, I brought you my prayer list, and I've been praying for you. And he said, I believe the Lord has revealed to me where He wants you and Amity to go and to be. Do you trust me to make the connections? And I said, by all means, Ed, I trust you to make the connections. And during that 10-day window where I thought I was about to get this offer to go to South Carolina, and they wouldn't return my call, they wouldn't return my text, they wouldn't return my emails, Pastor Peter Willems, Ed Funderburg called, Pastor Peter Willems called 2 minutes later. And began saying, sharing about what the Lord was doing, what the Holy Spirit was doing, what the leaders were sensing here in this amazing church called Mustard Seed Church in Lawrence, Kansas. And that weekend, in that 10-day window where they weren't returning my calls, Ed Funderburg called, Peter Willems called, and we flew into Kansas City, where Woody and Marla Davis picked us up and drove us into lovely Lawrence, Kansas, where we began to fall in love with a precious group of people that were trusting God for the next season of the life of their church. Come on, sometimes God will use delay. Come on, sometimes God will use a wilderness season Sometimes God will interrupt something because he's really got something better for you. Sometimes there's a delay in your life that's really God's divine interruption because he's got a better plan for your life than what you see. Come on, how many of you know it's true? His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. He wants to do more than what you could ask, think, or imagine. So I began watching what God was doing in Eddie and Beth's life, and I heard them talking about this wonderful church, the Rock Church in San Diego, where they were interviewing for a campus pastor position and an administrative position, and they went through four and five interviews, respectively. So they were deep into this process, and all of a sudden, the Rock Church quit calling them, quit returning their texts, quit returning their emails. I said, Eddie, you got to send a carrier pigeon. They quit. It was radio silence. And I felt the Holy Spirit just speak to me and say, share with them what God did in your life and encourage them with it. That, I started telling Eddie, I said, Eddie, is it possible? The Rock Church is this massive, amazing, wonderful church, multi-site, multi-campus, reaching thousands of people, doing amazing things for the kingdom of God in the Southern California, San Diego area where Eddie and Beth were. And I said, is it possible that that church isn't really grossly under-administrated, that they're not getting your messages and getting your calls? Is it possible that the Holy Spirit is trying to interrupt these plans that you have because he's really trying to redirect you to where he really wants you? And then we just continued to pray. And so I told them, I said, I said, they should hire you. They would be smart to hire you. You and Beth would do an amazing job for them in the positions that you've interviewed for. And so we just prayed and just encouraged them. And then one day we called them. We said, how was you guys' day? And Eddie said, it was an interesting day. He said, it was an interesting day. And he said, The Rock called. And he said they wanted to meet with me and follow up with me. This would have been like, what, the fifth or sixth time, I guess, that they had engaged. And they said, they called and they said they want to meet with me. And so he said, I was driving, and I think it was Camden with you. It was Camden that was with you, and they were driving to this meeting. They were driving to this meeting, and Eddie just said, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, Pastor Thomas, and he said, he just spoke to me and just said, this meeting's not going to happen. It's going to be canceled. And he had about an hour drive, according to what he was telling me, to get to the campus where they had called him in, and about 10 minutes before he was going to arrive at the campus where he was going to have this meeting, his phone dinged, and he said, what's it say, son? And they said, and he said, the guy says he suddenly lost his voice and cannot meet with you. So let me back up to remember my story about how God interrupted for 10 days. They wouldn't return my calls. What happened in that season was the pastor that I was connecting with in Charleston, South Carolina, his precious mother had passed away suddenly. And he had been in, of all places, Kansas, making the arrangements, ministering to his family, getting things in order for his dad and for his siblings who lived in Kansas. And so Eddie said, I had this sense it was going to get canceled. And sure enough, 10 minutes out, the guy says, I've suddenly lost my voice. I can't meet. We'll have to reschedule. And I said, Eddie, the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention. And he said, I know, Pastor T, I know. I settled it right then when that came in. I just said, we're closing this door. We've done all we can. We've trusted God. We've persevered. We've done everything in our part. We understand that God's trying to redirect us. And began a process of him engaging with me and us praying and connecting with our eldership and us eventually extending to Eddie Diaz, the executive pastor of ministries function role here at Rev City Church. And then, by the way, accepting it. They are accepting it. Come on, I didn't do a very good job of setting up an opportunity for you to clap, so you got to do it on your own. Come on, clap. So Eddie's accepted an invitation to come and to be our executive pastor of ministries, and Beth has accepted an invitation to come and to oversee that front desk and to serve as our director of assimilation and pastoral administration. And can I just tell you, they're a blessing. Their experience, their heart for Jesus, their heart for people, it shines through. You're quickly going to fall in love with them in the way that Amity and I have just fallen in love with them over the years. For all that they are and everything that they do for God and for God's people. And so it's a tremendous blessing. It's a significant blessing. I mean, to be able to hire someone to come in and to have the kind of experience that they have and the kind of heart that they have, it's an amazing blessing. And they're here early. They'll start in their positions later on in June. They're here early so that they can go through LTS and so that they can begin some orientation and meet you guys for a couple weeks before we lay hands on them and install them into their pastoral position later on in the month of June. So come on, we heard God, we budgeted in faith, we began to just actively just look and wait, do our part, and God moved, and he's delivered someone to come and strengthen our team. Aren't you excited about that? Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So you'll see them around the next couple weeks, and would you just begin to engage with them and just welcome them and help us to welcome them and just begin to pray for them. Is they're also in transition, you know, looking for homes, and they have three kids: Brandon, who's a student in the Dallas-Fort Worth area; Miranda, who's here this morning. Say hi to Miranda. Miranda, stand up. Just say hi to everyone. This is Miranda. She'll be a junior She's in the at the university in she goes to Grand Canyon University in Arizona. And then they have a son, Camden, who's visiting some friends back in Texas this weekend, but he'll be a senior right over here at Free State High School. So be praying for them as they're in that transition and just all the things that go along with that. Come on, it's not easy, but it's always good when you hear God and you trust God and you begin to follow God. Amen. Well, that's a good segue into my message this morning. I've been talking to you for the last few weeks about God's heart for you to grow in Him and about going beyond just being a believer in God. God's heart is for every person, every believer, to go beyond just believing into trusting and following Him. That's His heart, that we would go beyond just being a believer, that we would grow into becoming a disciple, and not just a disciple, but a follower of Christ. And Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And there's a life, there's an invitation from the Lord to everyone. How many of you know it's not just for youth pastors and associate pastors and executive pastors and elders? It's for every believer. It's for every person. God's heart for you to discover and connect to the kingdom purpose and destiny that He has for you. Come on, we believe unto eternal life. But there's a trusting and there's a following that connects us on this side of eternity to a plan and a purpose that God created you for before the foundation of time. Amen? Come on, that's true about you. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it's true about you. It's true about you. Come on, look at your neighbor that was your second choice and tell them too. It's true about you. It's true about you. To go beyond believing, to become a disciple, to become a follower, to know, to trust, to follow, to know God for who He really is. Come on, church, He's a good Father. He loves you so much. He loved you so much that He sent Jesus to come and pay the price for your sin and your shame and cover all that and make a way for you to discover a new life that's a relationship with Him. He desires for you to know Him in that way. Come on, He's a good Father. He's got good thoughts. He's got a hope and He's got a future for you, His Word declares. To know Him, to follow him into the new, into the more, to the next of God, more of His heart, more of His spirit, more of His plans and His purposes. Come on, for your life, for your future, for your family, for your marriage, everything that God has in His heart for you, He desires for you to begin to follow Him, and He's going to get you there. He's going to see you through. But following God, how many know, it always involves trust. Moving forward in God always involves trust. And I want to speak to you this morning about deepening our commitment to trusting God. Every season, every situation, come on, the good, the bad, the things that God does quickly, the times where you pray and then you just got to wait and there's delay, trusting God in every one of those seasons. Come on, He's always looking to do something in you, through you, and for you. I appreciate it. I don't remember who it was, but someone said something about the Brooks, and maybe it was themselves. They said, God's really spoken to us and just showed us He's doing something for us. He's not doing something to us. It might seem challenging, all the challenges surrounded with stepping out in faith and stepping into the next of God, but we got to begin to realize He's a good Father and He's doing something for you. And He's always, all the time, the thing that He's doing in the Brooks family, transitioning them, was connected to what He's doing in Micah and Adrian's family and what He's trying to prepare and position them for, which is preparing and positioning our youth group and our church. He's always doing something in you, through you, and for you. And can I just encourage you? It's oftentimes easy to embrace it when He's doing something through you. You know, when you're being used of God to be a blessing in someone else's life, when you're being used of God and people are receiving from whatever it is, the grace, the gift, the perspective, the experience, the testimony that God's put in your life, it's oftentimes easy to embrace that season. Amen. Come on, who am I talking to this morning? It's easy to embrace when God's moving through you. You know, when you save the day at work, when you unjam the copier machine, you know, no one else could do it but you. And you step in and you save the day. Come on, when you bring the Munchers donuts to work, and God's moving through you, you know, when you have the answer to the problem, to the question, you've got the solution. When God's using you, He's moving through you, it's easy to embrace that. Come on, it's easy to embrace when God's doing something through you, and mostly easy when God's doing something for you. However, I think some of us do have to get better at learning to receive from God. You know, a lot of times we, especially you know, some of you ladies, your moms, you're always doing something for someone, you're pouring your life out, and sometimes it's hard for you to even just stop and just receive when God wants to speak to you or love on you or bless you. But I think of all three of those things, the most challenging by far, at least for me, is when God's trying to do something in you. Come on, it's easy when he's moving through you, and most times it's easy, although we need to learn how to receive more when God's trying to do something for you. But it can be challenging when God is taking you through something because he's trying to do something in you. Amen? When God's trying to do something in you, come on, we got to get this, because can I just encourage you with something? God's almost always trying to do something in you before he does something through you. But before God builds high in your life, he almost always digs deep. God's more concerned, or he's equally concerned with the character that he's shaping and forming and developing in you before he connects you to the calling. Come on, it's the character that he's shaping in your life that's going to sustain. It's the foundation for the calling of God. It can be difficult when he's doing something in you. But we got to get this. Come on, sometimes there's God speaks something, God promises something, God begins to show you something, and then there's a delay. And I've encouraged you with this before, but it bears repeating. God, there's almost always a gestation period to the new life that God is doing in your life. There's almost always, he almost always, all throughout the Bible, I appreciate that God a lot of times would call someone, he would anoint someone, he would speak something over someone, and they didn't step into it right away. Then there was a process, there was a wilderness, there was a journey. There was that time where God was doing something in them to prepare them for what he wanted to do through them. We got to embrace those times. And can I just tell you, it's in those times, it's in those seasons where we really need to learn how to trust God, Come on, it's easy to trust God when everything is going well and everything's just going like this. But when there's an interruption, when there's a delay, when there's a disappointment, when there's a discouragement, in those seasons, can we really trust God? Can we trust that his ways are higher? Can we know that he sees the completed picture? He sees what he's doing in your life. He sees where he's trying to get you to, and his ways are higher. His thoughts are greater than ours. Can we really trust him in the seasons where there's divine delay? Can we really trust him when we've done our part to plant the seed and water the seed, and now the seed is in the ground and you can't see it any longer, and you've just got to trust that what God's put in the seed is going to begin to spring to life in his due season, in his timing? Come on, a lot of times God will lead you into those seasons because he's trying to do something in you. You know that the Bible says in three of the Gospels that before Jesus entered into his ministry, it says that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. Isn't that amazing to think about? We get this idea that when God's doing something in our life, it's always going to be easy, but God says, I care more about your character, and I care the width and the depth and the breadth of what I'm doing in your life. It's bigger than you could ask, think, or imagine, and so I've got to do a deeper work in you to prepare you for what I'm about to do. And it says he led the Holy Spirit, God, or the Holy Spirit led the Lord into the wilderness. And one translation even says, to be tempted by the devil. God's going to put you in some seasons where there's going to be a temptation to give up or begin to speak against something that God's done. But Jesus was the example. He went through that season, and when the enemy came to him and said, did God really say or do this or take the shortcut? And he came back at him with the word of God. And he said, no, God's word says this. God's word says this about who I am. God's word says this about how he's going to accomplish it in my life. God will put you in those seasons. And in those seasons, can you trust God? Can you trust God when he's doing something in you to prepare you for what he wants to do through you and for you? We got to trust God. Come on, Joseph. He got a dream from God, and it was from God. And he was Joseph. We know the end of the story. He was used of God mightily. But the pathway to the promise for him involved the pit and the prison. And then when God got ready to promote him, you remember, and I'm paraphrasing for time's sake, you remember what God did. When he got ready to promote him into the position that he would begin to walk in the promise, God called a famine. And I'm just telling you, you look around and you find yourself in a dry season, a wilderness season, and don't let the enemy come and say, see, God's not going to get you there. I think you ought to look around and say, I see it. I see the pattern of God and the heart of God and God's word. He leads people through wilderness seasons. He leads people through the fire. He leads people through dry seasons. And right when it seems like I'm up, I got my back up against the Red Sea, he has a way of stepping in, and he has a way of splitting the ocean and making a way for me to walk through. He has a way of using the famine to be the very reason that I get the call from the prison to the palace. When you find yourself in those seasons, can you continue to trust God? When you find yourself sold out by people around you, come on, like Joseph was, unfairly put into prison. Come on, can you just imagine being unfairly accused of what Joseph was falsely accused of, and he went to prison to save Potiphar's marriage. He went to prison for the benefit of someone else, and he was down, he went through the pit, and he was in the prison. Can you trust God when you find yourself in those seasons? God can use the difficult seasons. God can use the wilderness seasons. God is doing something in you because of the width and breadth of what he desires to do through you. If there hadn't been a famine, Joseph might have still been in the prison. Joseph might have still been in the prison. And you know, it's just fascinating. I've just been praying over this as I'm watching what God's doing in our own team. And let me just encourage you, this is for you. God has a promise. God has a position. God has a blessing. God has a dream for every one of you. In your life, in your ministry, in your family, in your marriage, in your calling. Come on, God is doing something in your life. He's trying to lead you into it. Don't get stuck where you are. Continue to walk through those seasons and trust God's getting you somewhere. God's taking you somewhere. But God has a position for you. I tend to pray these kind of prayers. God, provide for me. God, provide for me. God, protect me. But you know what I think would be a better way for us to shift and begin to pray to get to the thing that God has for us? What if we begin to shift and we begin to say, God, prepare me. God, position me. Where do you want me today? I know where I see you taking me, and I believe what you've spoken in my heart. But where do you need me today to position me and prepare me for where you've got for me tomorrow? I watched it with Eddie and Beth, and I watched it with Eli and Elisa, and I've watched it with Micah and Adrian, just serving faithfully in whatever it was that God put them. I watched Eddie and Beth move there to serve my parents as they were planning that church, and they did anything and everything. They loaded the trailer, unloaded the trailer, scrubbed the toilets, opened the door, held the door, whatever it took, they were there to do it. And they said, God, we know you've called us to do something big and great for your kingdom, but we know that you're in the process of preparing us, and would you just position us? And they answered the call to allow God to position them. Come on, what if we begin to pray, God, prepare me and position me? Because when you get positioned in God, you're postured for his protection and for his provision. When you're positioned where God wants you, when you're positioned where God needs you, come on, as a husband, as a father, when you answer the call to be and remain in that position, come on, I'm not talking about titles, especially in this generation. We tend to associate those positions with titles, but God has a position that transcends the title. And here's the thing is, when God calls you to that position, it doesn't matter if they give you the title or not. Just go and do your thing. And having the title doesn't make you the thing anyways. Come on, having the title, fathering a child gives you the title of a father, but it doesn't make you a father. Operating in the position of a father, in the position relative to the heart of the child and the family and the mother, that being in the position is what makes you a father. Don't worry about the title. Just start doing what God's called you to do and just start asking him, God, prepare me and position me. Prepare me and position me. So I want to give you three things this morning that I believe if you'll walk these out in diligence and in faith, I believe God will use these things to prepare you to be positioned for the promise of God in your life. And I'm going to use the acronym this morning. I want to challenge you this morning to be FAT, not P-H-A-T, but F-A-T. I want to encourage you to be faithful, available, and teachable. I want to encourage you to be FAT. I said, Lord, can't you make it FIT? I would rather say fit, can't you? Because how many of you know, come on, it's good to be fit. We need to be spiritually, physically, mentally fit. But I just couldn't find the I to say available, and he said, no, you need to call him to be fat. Come on, some of you, that's the only way you're going to remember it this morning. And some of you are sitting there saying, I knew it. I knew that's what God had for me, you know. He's called you to be faithful, available, and teachable. Luke 16, verse 10 says it this way: if you are faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And come on, faithfulness is all about stewardship. Whatever it is that God's put in your hand, whatever it is that God's called you to, whatever it is that God's entrusted to you today, to steward it well and to say, God, I'm grateful for this. I believe you've called me to this, but I'm grateful for the job you've given me. I'm believing for some new friends and better friends, but I'm grateful for that friend that you've given me, that knucklehead friend. And I'll be the best friend that I can to that person. I'll steward it well. Faithfulness is all about stewardship. The word says if you're faithful with the little things, it'll prepare you for the greater things that God has for you. And I said it before, but it bears repeating: the pathway to the new, to the next, to the more of God. Listen, hear me, church, this morning. It's always faithfulness with the now of God. It's always faithfulness with what he's put in your hand right now. Come on, whatever God's put in your hand, appreciate it. Care for it. Improve it. Don't let it stay the way that it is. Invest in it and speak life over it and take care of it and improve it. Come on, leave it better than it was when God put it in your hand. With the people that God's put in your life, with the possessions that God's put in your life, and with the promises that God has spoken over your life. Come on, with people, don't take them for granted. Don't take them for granted. I believe God's called this church to make an incredible difference in this city and in this region and all across the nation and throughout the world. But it's going to happen one precious person at a time. And as I'm sitting in my office and I'm counseling someone through a difficult situation, I'm trying to help someone to get their marriage restored, I'm mindful that this is the opportunity that God's given me right now, and I'm giving them my all, and I'm gonna give them everything I've got by the grace of God to help them. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm just stewardship with this counseling appointment, stewardship with this one-on-one interaction with someone is part of the pathway to the next that God has for me and my ministry and for us as a church. Whatever God's put in your hand, come on, give it all you've got. Take care of it. Steward it well. Improve it with the promises of God. Come on, whatever God's spoken over your life, steward it well. Don't let it get dusty on the bookshelf of your life. Keep it present before God and be praying over it well. Come on, that's a way you can steward the promises of God in your life. Pray over it every day. God, you've called me to this. God, I believe you've got this for me. God, I believe you want to restore that thing. God, I believe you want to take me to this place. God, I believe you want to release me into this. And I'm just keeping it before you, and I'm saying, God, I trust you. I trust you. You're able to fulfill the call of God on my life. You're able to deliver me through the dry and weary seasons to the fullness of what you have for me. Steward it with prayer. And your possessions, come on, take care of what you have. Take care of what you have. Come on, you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. And you're an ambassador. You're a reflection of his kingdom to those who are in the earth and need Jesus. Take care of the things that you have. Steward well the things that you have. Come on, your dorm room on the university or your one room in the apartment that you're sharing with the guys, come on, take care of it. Steward it well. Steward it like the son or a daughter of a king. Steward it like you realize and recognize that every moment you're the ambassador for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Come on, take care of the things that God's given you. Take care of your house. Take care of your room. Take care of your car. Come on, if you have an old, junky car, can I just ask you a question? Why? Old is fine, but there's no excuse for junky. Come on, I want you to grow, so I'm willing to step on your toe. And I'm a poet, and I do know it. If you have an old junkie car, come on, I'm going back there. Some of you are just like, keep moving, Pastor T, keep moving, Pastor T. If you have an old junkie car, why? Old is fine. There's nothing wrong with old. And excellence is not about new or expensive. Excellence is about stewardship. And old is fine, but junkie is, there's no excuse for junkie. You're a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and the world around you is watching you. And Jesus said, let your light so shine before men so that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And come on, I know I'm stepping on some people's toes, but I'm just telling you, come on, you got an old junkie car, come on, clean it out. Come on, for the love of God and for all that is holy, get the McDonald's bags out of the back seat and out of the back window. Come on, you got an old junkie car, come on, put some rims on it. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, put some rims on it. Take care of what God's put in your hand. The pathway to the new, to the next, to the more of God. He's always looking, saying, if you'll be faithful a little, come on, I'm just looking. My eyes are looking all throughout the world for someone whose heart's perfected after me so that I can begin to move strongly on your behalf and lead you into the new and the more and the next and the greater things that God has for you. But he's just looking, he's saying, what are you doing with that relationship that I've given you? What are you doing with, come on, you want a spouse? What are you doing with that pet that I gave you? I'm moving on now. I'm smarter than that one. I'm not going into that one. Be faithful. Be faithful. To be available. Be available. Mark chapter 4, 18 and 19 says this, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word. Come on, don't be one of the others. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, the desire for other things so that no fruit is produced. Come on, just because God's called you to something doesn't mean that you'll walk into it and experience it or enjoy it or release it. if you get caught up with the cares of the world, if you get caught up with the other things, if you get caught up with the culture and the system of the world, you can miss something that God wants to do in you and through you. Don't get caught up with those things. Make yourself available. Answer the call. Come on, for you, it might not be about moving from Texas to Kansas or from San Diego to Lawrence, Kansas. For you, it might just be saying, you know what, God, I'll make myself available in that workplace. I'll make myself available volunteering in my kids' school. I'll make myself available to my local church. I'll make myself available to you because I've been so busy and I've been running ragged. I've been doing this thing. I've been chasing the dream. I haven't even been available to spend time with you, Lord. I make myself available. This past week, we had a computer meltdown here at the church because somehow, some way, all the files that we store up in the cloud, I don't know where the cloud is, but it's a glorious place where all these files and videos are stored, you know. And all these things that we've got stored up in the cloud, somehow, some way, some kind of a setting got changed within our Dropbox cloud situation here. And all those things that Nathan Hammer, all those beautiful videos and news announcements and all those things he's been making, large files stored in the cloud, all of a sudden something got changed and all those things became synced to the hard drives of our personal computers. And everything that was intended to be up in the clouds began to clog up and complicate our situation down here on the earth underneath the cloud. And it created gridlock, you know. I mean, my hard drive wasn't made to carry everything that's intended to be stored up in the cloud. Oh, come on, that's good preaching. I'm going somewhere with that. There's some things that God intended for you to lay before him, cast before him, and let him just deal with it up here. And come on, when those things that are intended to be up here, just entrust it to God, start to get into your daily situation, it can clog up your life. It can keep you from being functional. It can keep you from being productive. It can keep you from moving forward. Keep them in the cloud. Put them in the clouds. Those big files, those things that people put on you, those curses, those things, those discouragements, I'll put them in the cloud. Just put them in the cloud. Just say, God, I can't get too tied up with this because God's call is too big and God's dream is too great for my life to get too tied up in this stuff that I'm not walking forward and making myself available every day to be growing in you, to allow you to position and prepare me for what you're taking me to. I'm just entrusting that to you. You know, I'll pray for them, that family member, those crazy people in my family, you know, I'll just pray for them, but I'm entrusting them to you. That financial situation, I got stuff that I got to do here. I'm leaving it up here with you. And come on, in the right time, if God wants you to bring it back, come on, it'll be there. He's faithful. He'll take care of it. Come on, if we can trust an earthly cloud, how much more can you trust your heavenly Father? Just say, God, I'm just giving that to you. And in the right season, when I need access to that file, you know, I'll pull it back into my own life, and you'll be faithful to just have to say, yeah, I've been taking care of it. I've just been holding it right here. And you're about right. You're about to the timing of God. I'm about to give it to you. Don't get caught up with the cares of this world. Make yourself available. Lastly, be teachable. Be teachable. Be teachable. I just want to tell you easily, one of the distinguishing characteristics that I see as a pastor and people that I see blessed and stepping into greater levels of influence in the workplace and the kingdom of God, blessed in their marriage, blessed in their family, blessed in their finances, is a teachable spirit. Come on, I see people that are broke all the time and in debt, and they've never read a book about finances. I see people that have money, and they're constantly learning. They got financial advisors, and it doesn't make sense. You'd think the one that had the much would not need the advice, but what I see is the people that have the much, they're the ones that are constantly seeking and searching to be teachable and correctable and to be gaining greater levels of understanding and wisdom in that area where God's put a blessing in their life. Be teachable. Be teachable. Be correctable. Be constantly seeking. Come on, a teachable spirit is a humble spirit. And God's word says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And come on, grace is more than just a get out of jail free card with God. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God's empowerment to do and be what he's called you to do and be. And God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You want empowerment to in your marriage and your family? Be humble before God. Be humble before God. A teachable spirit is a humble spirit. A teachable spirit is a humble spirit. Worship team, come up here and prepare if you would to help us to dismiss this morning. A teachable spirit is a humble spirit. And God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Come on, grace is getting what we don't deserve. Grace is the empowerment of God. It's the favor of God. And in every area of your life, let me encourage you, every area of your life, be teachable and correctable. And you know, correctable has to do with receiving adjustments on the fly when you kind of get off the mark. And that's a good thing. But can I challenge you with something that's even a higher position in God's kingdom, a higher posture that gets God's attention to, for him to begin to release his blessing in your life? Is when you're proactively teachable. It's one thing to be correctable when someone comes and says, hey, you know, can I talk to you about this? And even in that moment, it's easy for us to be defensive. Come on, I'm not defensive. Even in that moment, it's easy for us to be defensive. But can I just encourage you that there's even a higher place. There's a deeper place where we're not even just willing to receive, and that's a good place to start. But we begin to be proactively just seeking and searching out and saying, come on, David was a messed up dude. I appreciate that about the Bible. It tells us the whole story. People that had challenges, people that stumped their toe, people that blew it big time. Come on, from Moses to David, I mean, all throughout the Bible, God's word is not afraid of telling us about the dark seasons and the difficulties of people's lives. And yet God moved in their life and redeemed and restored and renewed their hearts and used them mightily for him. Come on, who's glad about that? David was a messed up dude, man. I mean, he adultery and murder and pride, not trusting God and all these things that he did. But the Bible still says that he was a man after God's own heart. He was a man after God's own heart in spite of his failures. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things that can mean, but what I see in David is that he was teachable and correctable. When he blew it, he just went to God and he said, God, I blew it. And look what David said, Psalm 139. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Watch what it says in verse 24. It says, point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. David wasn't perfect. He was just teachable. He was correctable. He was humble. When he blew it, he just made it right with God as quickly as he could, and he just started worshiping God and thanking him for his grace. And I just wonder if there's someone in here, there's a promise of God, there's a dream of God, and you find yourself in a season of delay, frustration, disappointment. There's something you thought God would do or expecting him to do, and you're yet to see it happen, or it's not, or maybe it's even going the other direction. And today the Holy Spirit would just speak to you and just remind you about, first of all, his heart to you as a father. He's a good father. He's got the dream is from him. The hope is from him. The plan is from him. He's got something for you. But he's doing a work in you. He's preparing you. He cares too much about you when you get to that place to let you get there without the character that you need to sustain it. What he desires to do in your life is bigger than you even ask, think, or imagine. So he's working in you in a deeper way than you might have expected him to need to. And I just wonder if there's anyone in this place. I just give you just the opportunity to respond in waves as we stand to worship God before we dismiss. If you realize that there's an area in your life where you need to be faithful, God's put something, God's entrusted something to you, and the Lord just reminded you, just spoke to you about just stewarding it well this morning in a new way or deeper way, would you just quickly, come on, this is a place of grace and a place of growth, and we're family here. Just stand to your feet, say, Lord, that's me. My wife, my kids, I've been taking something for granted that you're just reminding me this morning to steward well. A call, a gift, a job, something that God's put in your life. And you're saying, Lord, you're just reminding me this morning that I need to steward that well. I need to take care of it. I need to invest in it. I need to improve it. I need to fix it up. I need to clean it out. I need to do whatever it is that will allow me to just steward it well in a way that's pleasing to you. If you've been caught up with some of the cares of the world, and you want to today make yourself, starting in your heart and your spirit, more available to the call of God in your life. If you've been so busy that you haven't even been spending time with the Lord, this might be you. If you want to make yourself more available, if you want to make a commitment today to say, God, I'm not going to get caught up in the cares of this world that keep me from the call of God and keep me from knowing you and walking in your presence. If that's you, come on, just stand. Just stand. Just say, Lord, I want to make myself more available. I want to be intentional about creating space in my time and in my heart to spend time with you and to grow in you. If you realize this morning that in some ways between you and God, between you and other people in your life, you've been sort of defensive or whatever that posture might look like for you, and today you want to say, I want to be teachable. I want to be correctable. I want to not just be correctable, but I want to be actively seeking and saying, God, would you search me? And I want to go to people in my life and say, would you begin to speak into my life? Would you begin to instruct me? Would you begin to help me to prepare for the position that God has for my life? If that's you, just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. And now can I just ask everyone just to stand in support of all those that stood in faith and courage this morning as I pray over everyone and we prepare to dismiss. Father, I thank you for all those that stood this morning. I thank you for the call of God upon every person's life. Come on, there's a call, there's a promise, there's a dream, there's a purpose for you. And Lord, I thank you that you're speaking that, you're reminding us of that, you're revealing that to some people today, God. And I thank you, Lord, for those who have found themselves in a situation where there's been divine delay, where there's been frustration, where there's been discouragement and disappointment this morning. Thank you for reminding them that you're faithful and that those things aren't greater than your call and your word that you've spoken over them, God, and that you're going to see them through. And all the while, you're developing, you're forming, you're fashioning, you're shaping their character to be prepared for the greatness that you have for them in every area of their life, their ministry, their marriage, their family, their finances, their future, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for just reminding us and strengthening us and gracing us to be faithful, to be good stewards. What you've put in our hands, Lord, our husbands and our wives, our children and our finances, our houses and our cars, our jobs and our opportunities, the interactions we have with people, any one of those things or anything else that I didn't say that we've taken for granted and we haven't stewarded well. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, just reminding us, because you're so good and you're so gracious, reminding us, God, to not miss the opportunity to make the most of every day and to steward those things well, God. Thank you for the practical and the spiritual ways that we can go from this place today and walk that out in a way that's pleasing to you, God. Thank you for causing us to make ourselves available to, first of all, Lord, spend time with you and allow you to speak into our life and allow you to strengthen us and allow you to reveal, Lord, more of who you are and who we are in you, Lord. And thank you for giving us a teachable and correctable and humble spirit, God. Thank you, Lord, for a heart that just every day just says, Lord, to do what you've called me to do in every one of those areas of my life, I know I need you, and I know I'm imperfect, and I know I have a need for your wisdom and your heart and your grace to walk it out well and in a way that's pleasing to you and accomplishes the purpose that you have for it today in Jesus' name. And come on, that's a good place for me to just do the most important thing we do at every service, and that's give you an opportunity to receive the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, to receive the invitation that Jesus is from your Heavenly Father to an opportunity at a fresh start, a new start in Him. And if that's you this morning and you realize it today, I'm not going to put you on the spot. All I'm going to do is just respond so I know who I'm praying for. Just lift your hand. Come on, don't wait. Lift your hand. Say, that's me, Pastor T. That's me, Pastor T. I need a fresh or a new start with God through Jesus Christ. And I'm responding in faith today. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, Lord, for these hands that represent a heart. These hands that represent a heart that's turning towards you today in a fresh or a new way. And come on, because we're a family, because we're the family of God, can we all just repeat this after me and pray this along with those who raise their hand today? Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I place my trust in Jesus Christ, the one you sent to pay the price, to die for my sin and make a way for me to know newness of life and a relationship with my Heavenly Father. And I give you my heart, I give you my life, and I trust you, I trust you, I trust you with my future. In Jesus' name, and come on, all God's precious people said, come on, put your hands together.